in Christ Jesus. Dear fellow students of the Word, fellow redeemed in Christ, this morning we continue our saga of Jacob and Esau. In last month's chapel, we heard that Jacob dressed up in his brother's clothes and with the help of goat skins covering his arms and neck, he deceived his elderly, almost blind father into believing that he was the oldest son Esau and received the blessing of the firstborn. He left his father, and a few minutes later, Esau shows up with his venison all prepared. He says, "Father, arise and eat." And Isaac says, "Who are you?" And Esau said, "I'm Esau, your eldest son, your firstborn." We're told that Isaac shook with panic and horror and said, "Then who did I just bless?" Realizing that his son Jacob had deceived and lied to him. Esau realized that too. And he promised, made a vow, that he would kill his brother Jacob. Because of this threat of murder, Jacob now had to flee. And who steps in? Jacob's mother, Rebekah. She who devised the deception now devises the departure. She again says to her son Jacob, "My son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" Three important details are given to Jacob by his mother. First of all, she says, "Flee for a few days to my brother, your uncle Laban in Haran." Well, as we know, what Rebekah thought would be only a few days ended up being 20 years. And when Jacob does finally return, we don't ever hear of Rebekah again. We assume she's died in the meantime. So this is probably the last contact that Rebekah has of her beloved son, Jacob. And a fortunate consequence for all that lying, deceiving, and scheming. Second point, remain in Haran until Esau calms down and forgets what you have done to him. What you have done to him. Rebekah kind of throws Jacob under the bus and says, "Hey, what you did to him," even though she was the one that planned it and said, "Obey my voice and do this." Third point, "I will send and bring you from there." As far as we know, there was no correspondence between either Rebekah or Isaac or Jacob or Esau. In fact, 20 years later, when Jacob's coming back from his exile, he still thinks that Esau is filled with hatred toward him. Well, Isaac's told about this plan. He agrees to it, and he blesses his son Jacob before he leaves. These are the words of our text this morning, Genesis 28, 3 and 4. Isaac says to Jacob, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. You may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." These words are echoes of what God said to Adam and Eve concerning being fruitful and multiplying all over the earth. It's also a promise that was given to Abraham concerning the offspring and the promised land. Unworthy and deceiving as he is, Jacob has been mercifully given the promise that will be passed down from himself to his son Judah, from Judah all the way to David, from David all the way down to the Virgin Mary in the person of Jesus. One commentator wrote, "With only this word of promise in his pocket and a staff in his hand, Jacob leaves behind everything he has known for the uncertainty and the adventure of a life of exile." The nation of Israel really begins in exile. 11, the 12 sons of Jacob are born in exile. With only one exception, Benjamin, all the fathers of the tribes of Israel were born outside of the promised land. And through all of Jacob's ups and downs during those 20 years in Haran, the Lord's hand is upon him and guides this messy, sin-filled situation toward his desired outcome for his nation, the Israelites, the nation that many years later he'll also once again lead out of exile from Egypt. It's so interesting and so important to know that Israel's beginnings are in exile. Why? Because Jacob's being prepared during his exile. Even as the land of Israel, the people of Israel were being prepared during their 400 years of exile in Egypt. And because so many blessings come our way also in exile. Exile meaning times we'd rather not be going through, days that we don't enjoy when we have trials and troubles and temptations and testing, events that we would call bad or evil in our life. We'd love to have Jesus drop by once in a while, bless us, nod his head, in agreement with what we're doing, not really restricting our desires, our decisions, or directing our actions. But someone wrote, Jesus doesn't want you to do you. That is, follow your own path. Be the person you want to be. Be your own master. Decide your own fate. That's very American, but also going to be very satanic. That was the egocentric attitude of Jacob prior to his exile. It was, my will be done. And how often isn't that also our way? But now during his exile, the Lord is preparing Jacob over and over and over again and leads him to repent of his selfish ways, to see God's way, and willingly, selflessly follow him. Now, we may not appear to others to be in exile. We go to school, we have many friends, we play sports, take part in other activities, but our heart and our soul may be in exile. We may be confused about what life's all about. Maybe we're wandering away from the Lord and his word. Maybe we're struggling with questions about God's love for us. And we see only in our life loneliness, confusion, despair. Maybe the demon of addiction to pornography or drinking or cheating or lying or bullying or swearing has grabbed hold of our lives. We think we can't get free. Maybe our exile is a heart filled with anger or worry, anxiety, fear, despair. There'll be times in your life when you think that God is so far away when he's closer than ever before. Or you want God to be far away and he's knocking on your heart's door with his condemning law. In exile, God wants to destroy our sinful ego. He wants to dismantle our arrogant pride and empty us as much as he can of ourself so that we're filled with his amazing love and the good news of his forgiveness alone through Jesus Christ found in his word. Jesus is always doing this work in the hearts of his disciples. When we realize that our exile is good for us, we learn not to depend upon ourselves, our character, our charisma, our good works, our abilities, but admit to our sinfulness, admit that we need Jesus for everything in life. Then we're led from exile into the promised land. Jesus died to give us life, a meaningful life of service here on earth, and everlasting life in heaven. Being a disciple of Jesus means that there'll be many times in our life when we go through exile. The Lord leads us there and back out again. Leads us away from home and back home again into his loving arms of forgiveness. And there is no better place to be than that. Amen. We'll continue with singing of hymn 631.
Thank you.